Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. You know, there are people who live as if they don't have an adversary. And then there are those who live as if they know they have an adversary, but they think he's so powerful. But we know we have an adversary, but we have victory over him. But we have to know. Remember what Paul says, we are not ignorant of his, wiles is the word he uses. Because he uses all sorts of things. Now there's somebody here, I delayed because I thought she would come and testify, but let me testify for her, because I know her. She had applied for a passport some time ago, and even paid express. And it's supposed to come in 3 days. And if it had actually come in 3 days, even in a week, she could have gone on a trip somewhere in Europe. But somehow, they said, we'll call you back after 2 weeks, 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks, and so on. So when we rebuked delay, somebody told her that your passport was lost in what? Like, was mixed up in so many passports. Somehow we had to look for it, and somehow we've just discovered it. But it came out a long time ago. But sorry, no trip. Now, so you forfeit a trip because you somehow think the systems of this world are going to work for you without you imposing yourself on them. They don't. You actually have to impose yourself on them. You know, the scripture calls the devil the god of this world. You know that, eh? So the systems of the world will try to come in your way, and you're supposed to have something, you're supposed to go somewhere, everything is done, and some of these testimonies you give actually are. I just wanted people to understand that you've got to learn at every one time that I'm not going to let the devil mess me up. He might not even stop it, but he can just 1 month. And you know, he's a master of that. What should have come tomorrow will come next week. What should have come next week will come next month. What should have come next month will come next year. You see, eh? And somehow, for you, a year is a lot. Because in the meantime, opportunities are going past you. But for him, he's there playing games. And using people whom he just confuses here and there and so on. I've had instances of some people who's, I gave you a testimony of myself, but there was one who, I told you some time ago, I think, who used to supply something to supermarkets. And then they would tell him, bring another supply, we've run out. So he would go and supply them, and every time he goes to supply, they pay him a check for what, has been sold. They give him a check. And that was consistent. It started once a week, then it started being 2 times a week. So basically he was prospering, moving fast. And now he spread from Capital Shoppers, now he went to other supermarkets. So basically life was going on and business was traveling. But he told me himself that the Lord had told him, wake up at 3 and pray between 3 and 4. And as long as he did that, it was expanding and expanding. Then he became busy. Then at 3 he's tired. It took only 1 week. Eventually, he waits for them to call him. They are not calling him. 1 week, 2 weeks. The third week, he says, but something is wrong. So first of all, he remembers to start praying at 3 again. Then eventually, he went to the supermarket and told the new people, what happened? Aren't my things selling? He said, they got finished a long time ago. We forgot to call you. And now the devil has messed you up. Like, can you imagine? He just takes it out of somebody's mind. They are supposed to call you. They don't. Now, you can't deal with the person involved because there's an enemy behind. So the person, Paul says in, I was even telling this to the school's team, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, start from verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Now, even the other day, Thomas was telling me that somebody who has been receiving him for school's ministry just woke up in the morning and decided, no, we no longer want you. We want a letter away from ministry. What, there is a lot of rubbish. Eh? When the devil gets into people's heads, they can start getting ideas. Something which was very straightforward. And now I'll tell you, something which is very straightforward. Somebody will complicate it. And the devil is the one behind that. So now you do not allow that to happen. Because now you see, he says, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Go to verse 2. And it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Now you see, there are those who are wicked, who you see this one, actually there is a force behind them and it's wicked. But there are those who are unreasonable. You tell him, we have come to you, no, what a letter from the president. What do you mean the president? No, go to Museveni and gives you a letter to come and preach here. Then you realize it's the devil, but it's the same thing. He's unreasonable. Some of them might be wicked, and some of them are wicked. And you can tell that there is a spirit clash. But some of them just become unreasonable. And they wake up in the morning and say, no, we don't want. But we have been preaching here. No, we've changed our minds. And now that thing works on people. Like you take a proposal. Now this is the gospel. But you take a proposal or something which is going to be of value. And somebody just decides to be unreasonable. Unreasonable, completely. I remember there was a time when I was traveling somewhere. And so I had money which I was going to use to buy a ticket. And my flight was on Sunday. I needed to buy the ticket on Friday. So I go to the check. And I was the first person when the bank opened on Monday. Because it was that 4 working days thing. So I was the first person to come and bank my check. They opened when I was there. Then, now these are the wives of the devil. We're playing games. The person who actually was supposed to bank the check forgot and banked the check on Wednesday. So when I went on Friday saying the 4 working days are over, now I expect money on the account, they said, sorry, you banked the check yesterday. I said, look at this receipt. I banked the check on Monday. Then now unreasonable came up. No, how are we sure that this is it? It was even a check from MTN. I told them, why don't you just call somebody there and they verify that they gave me a check. It was so simple. They refused until I went into the flesh. Like, they became very unreasonable. That time I was still in the media. So I told them, okay, it's good. Since I'm not going to go on Sunday, let me even go and write my column for Sunday and tell them Stanbic is full of rubbish. Like you've done, because I have a city here showing I banked the check on Monday. You know the thing they give you which you go with. So I said, I banked the check on Monday. So it is your mistake. Do you know what they eventually did? They eventually allowed to give me the money, but as a loan. And I had to pay interest. Can you imagine? They make a mistake, then you pay for it. Now, of course, that was so many years ago. Now, if they tried that on me right now, I cannot allow people to play games. Because, can you imagine, they charged me money for an overdraft. Yet, the check was there in their possession and had banked it on money and the money was supposed to be clear. But because I had to pay for the ticket that day, they took me through a process. First sign here, first do this, first do that, first. And man, I was just so frustrated. And even that, because I'd threatened to make noise. And, social media and all those things. And they don't like those things. But even then, they still made me pay interest. Yet I didn't want their loan. So what was over, I don't know how much. Like, I lost there about 1 million shillings. And the devil has stolen that one. And when you see him, he's fat on 1 million shillings. Now, he has messed you up. Because something is supposed to be clear cut, but he will play games with it. And that, if you do not understand the tricks of the devil, he will use wicked men, but those are few. Most of them are unreasonable. When somebody starts coming up with very unreasonable conditions, just know this is the devil. Don't waste your time with what? With the guy. You just go for the devil who is like playing games on him. Because there is a chidimon telling him, I'll tell him to come back next week. You have to know the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, I think, that the whole world is under the sway of the enemy, of the evil one. The whole world. So do not think that just because somebody is corporate and in a tie, the chidimon can come and sit on you and he's trying to mess you up. Don't bank that check now. Then the guy sits on it. Then remembers on Thursday, there's a check here, and banks it. And he has messed you up. Anyhow, so now that some are wicked, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world, no exceptions, except those who are born again. But all of them, like, you see a headmaster saying, no, you're not going to bring your gospel here. You just know he's under the sway of the evil one. Now, if you try to go for him, you're in trouble. You remember my brother Edgar, who sometimes preaches here? He was doing business, and he gave some gentleman money. No, he actually was supposed to purchase some equipment from the man. So the man said, you pay me in advance. So he paid him. Now when he went, the man said, I don't have the equipment. He said, give me my money. man said, give me your money. Are you kidding? So he went to the police. When he reached the police said, who is that? They knew him. He was very famous in the town as a mufere. You know somebody who is a mufere. That man even would sell somebody a car which is parked outside his what? Which he doesn't know anything about. Like a mufere. You know there are people who have a fere. Like, and everybody knows. So even the policemen were telling him, but also you. I don't waste our time. Why did you give him the money? Because if you actually caught money and gave him, yet he could fail as people and everybody, the whole town knows him. That man, he can come and, you want a car? He come. Then somebody has parked his car there and entered into a supermarket. Then the guy say, how much are you giving me for this? He doesn't even know where the keys are. He doesn't know the owner. He's just, and he's kufera as you like, and he's that kind of person. But then my brother said that, but so should I just give up this money? And you know, sometimes it pains. So he said, no. The Lord of all thieves is the devil. The enemy cometh not to what? But what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Like every thief is the devil. Is a manifestation of the devil. So if you allow them to steal your stuff, you've actually allowed the devil to play games on you. Let me tell you, people. Can you imagine if you didn't have the protection of God? How many times they would rob you of things? Eh? You buy a TV, they come, they rob your TV, rob your laptop, and the devil is just playing games. Eh? And you think it's the thieves. No, it's the devil. Now, so my brother went and was praying about it. Then the Lord told him that, forget about that man. You just deal with the devil. First of all, you don't have any authority over a human being, over a human spirit. But the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. So he started rebuking the devil who was using that man to mess him up. So he said, Satan, you are going to bring back my money. So he said that, you are going to bring back my money. So he commanded Satan, bring back my money. So it took like a period, I think, if I remember well, 2-3 weeks. One day the man calls him. And he's very angry. He's there with his wife. He's very angry, very annoyed, as if he saw a ghost. Then he said, you know, in Runyoro, that was in Masindi. He told the wife, you count for him. Quarter sentence away. Genda, Rukano, Genda, I don't want to see you again. So the wife counted the money, counted, like shaking as if they had seen something. Like, and he's the only person, I think, who got money from that renowned Mufere. The guy counted out all the money and said, isn't that it? He said, okay, now get out of my shop. I don't want to see you. My brother said, very well, I also don't want to see you, but I have my money. Now, you don't know what happened because the man was shaking, his wife was shaking, and now we have to understand that. And now you see, if you become lazy, you accept so many of those losses. Amen? You say, ah, man, yeah, they took my phone. Yeah, man. Can you imagine? I just bought it. What? But then anyway, I'll buy another one. And you can buy another one. But why should you let the devil play games on you, man? It's not the thief. It's the devil. He's the master of all thieves. He's their boss. Praise the Lord. So now you can actually refuse to take any loss. Nobody is going to steal anything. Even when you make a mistake. Now, I remember when I first learned this and I actually started becoming very vigorous about it. I went to a supermarket. I got a trolley to go and, you know, shop. Then I realized the trolley was too big. And I just wanted a few things, like every man shopping. So I pushed the trolley somewhere and got a smaller trolley and left my two phones there. And then I pushed the trolley and went, finished shopping. I had no recollection whatsoever that my phones were there. But I had been meditating on the fact that I suffer no loss. Like the devil is not going to take anything of mine. If I want to give it, I'll give it, but you cannot steal it. So now when I had finished, I was now with my small trolley on the counter. Then somebody comes and says, excuse me, sir, I think it's you who left these phones here. So he handed me the phones. And now, like he could have taken them. They were not cheap phones. That's when I realized that, man, the devil, he knows he can't touch what belongs to me. He can't. Like, they are not, like, thieves, me? What? Are you kidding me? There are all sorts of clowns out there whom you can steal from, not from me. Eh? Now, you know, you can have this thing that somebody comes and you incur a loss. Of course, sometimes you can't also be too rigid because there are people who are rigid, very rigid. I remember one time I was with some rich man in town and he had given a money. Some guy came and kufedad him, some journalist came and kufedad him and told him, give me money, we are going to advertise it. What? So he gave him money and he took it and the adverts didn't come. So when I was there, he told me, I knew the guy because I was working, you know, in the media with him. said, God, then he said, yeah, to test sent his anger, but it's okay. But now the man had an Indian who was working for him, who was like his employer. And the Indian, for him, you know, Indians, for them, money is God. Now, this rich Muganda was willing to, man, do you know what he even told me? Nasazwe mureka, uyuzo kwe sanga vade ba mgova mnyumba, over he needed the money, over mwana ya ade murwade. So I'd say that's little money, let him take it. Now, of course, that is like having a, you know, a humane heart. The Indian said, no, we have to go and report New Vision. They have to fire him, everyone. Then I told, what? I told this Mugaga, you tell this guy of yours to cheat it. If you've decided to cheat it, he's your employee. Because you're going to get somebody fired, and I knew. Now, the owner of the money has said, maybe the guy was in a tough spot. Let's forget about it. And he's a rich man. Like, he could well afford to do it. So, my point is, also, sometimes don't get too rigid. Like, you have to be humane. But now, I'm afraid. Like, the one who was trying to fade my brother. Where the guy even laughs in your face. Have you ever seen people like that? He could fade as you and laughs in your face. And he has sold you fake land. Never accept those things. You just know you're dealing with the devil. The wicked and unreasonable men. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now the thing is, go to Jude, verse 3. It says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend honestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to all the saints. He said to contend honestly for the faith which was delivered. Now you see, when somebody says you contend for something, it means that thing is under threat. And you have to stand up and actually fight for it. And he said, contend for the faith which was delivered to us by the apostles of the Lord. Now that faith is not the faith which you find in the church now. Amen? Because there was a faith which was passed on, where people go and preach the gospel to an Ethiopian eunuch, and then they vanish and they're at another place. And they teleport. That is the faith which was delivered. But now, Jude, of course, Jude is the last book before Revelation. And actually, even in chronology of when it was written that much later. But now the church had, what I see now, had become very religious. And all the things which, you know, it's so easy, very, very easy. It takes one generation for people to move away from the shadows of Peter healing the sick to the gospel that healing stopped with the apostles, like the Baptists believe. It takes just one generation. And what does it take? Somebody who tried to get healed and did not succeed. And rather than asking why, he decided it is the end of it. And because he has influence, he turns his failure into a doctrine. And people buy into it. Now, Jude is saying, honestly contend for the faith which was given to us. The other faith, where people are locked up in prison and they come out by the angel of God. Where the shadows of people heal the sick. Where people are teleporting. Now, he's telling us to honestly contend for that faith. Because worldliness creeps into a church and makes it of no effect. You know, like you turn into what he calls having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And you find somebody is godly and, you know, morally strong and all, but don't have a sense of control over anything that happens in their life. Nothing. They are blank. I remember there was some lady, one of us, so there's this house. Oh, she wanted, I want this house. What a beautiful house, a view, what? She didn't have the money. When she got the money, the house she had wanted was taken. And it was in a block of apartments, which apparently is good, and so according to her description, nice and so on. This is the place I would want. So I told her, now, are you ready? Do you have the money? Now, she had even eaten some of it. So I said, by 15th this month, I am emptying one of those flats for you. I said, On 14th, the landlord kutabukad with one of the tenants and threw her out. And she told the askari who guards the apartments that if any house falls vacant, call me, and gave her, you know, gave the guy her number. So the guy calls on 14th and said, this person has been thrown out by the landlord, so there's a house vacant. So she goes And they have increased a little. So she needs some more time. So I say, when would you be ready? Then says, by 22nd. So I said, by 22nd, another one will have left. 22nd, 21st, the landlord kutabukad with another tenant. And left. Okay, to cut a long story short, she's now occupying the what? The place. Now, the thing is, I did not have to do that. She could do it herself. Because you see, sometimes somebody comes and you see, you can do it. You don't need me to do that. Like, it means you're not contending for the faith of the apostles. Like, you have decided that you're powerless, you're weakling, you're going to go by the systems of this world. Like, it's all, you're normal person. So if you go and they have just taken it, you'll say, oh man, can you believe they've just taken it? And then, you know how she had even wasted the money. Because she didn't believe me the first time, she spent money on brokers looking for another house. I told her, you just keep the money on the 15th, it's going to be empty. And it was. And then again, I gave her an extra week from 15th. I said, okay, 22nd. How long do you need? A week to replace the money you spent on brokers. You know those brokers? They tell you, I have 10 houses. They don't have any. Then, man, brokers also can be weird, man. Okay. They told her that one is in Buziga and what? Then it's on Zalama Road. They will never tell you the truth. Like, okay, it's not all of them, because some of them are what? Are even watchers. But then, when you arrive there, they say, first get money for Uber if you don't have a car. So you first get a Uber. Then he says, and first give me my 50K for taking you around. Then you pay the 50K. Then the guy takes you to nothing like what he described. And then you finish. And then he says, okay, have a good day. Then the next day he said, now I have others. So she had wasted. Praise the Lord. Now my point is this. The reality is that I did not need to say that. She could very easily have done it herself. And then she would have built her confidence in the fact that she's not an ordinary person. Praise the Lord. Now everybody has to be, you know, because you have to build your confidence. And now these things work through practice. Praise the Lord. Anything that you do not put to use vanishes. Anything that you don't put to use vanishes. Whatever, you can have a powerful gift. Let's say powerful healing gift. The day you spend 3 months without praying for a sick person, you wake up and the gift is not there. It is there, but it is dormant. And now you have to reactivate it by now starting praying for the sick. Anything that is not put to use. Now, the authority, or what Paul says, contending for the faith, which was passed on to us by the apostles, was things in the Acts of the Apostles. Because let me tell you this. I used to wonder, because there was a time it crossed my mind, and I said, but honestly, the Bible says in Hebrews that we are under a better covenant with better promises. But the children of Israel moved from Egypt, and their clothes grew with them. Those who were children, when they grew, the clothes they were wearing grew with them. So they didn't have to buy more clothes. And I said, but man, the miracles of the Old Testament. And God is saying we are under a better covenant with better promises. Now the thing is, it is for contending. Because it's there. Remember, it says that we may be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter, I think, 1:3, where it says that his divine power has given us all things partaking to what? To life and to godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Go on. Then it says, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Remember, the covenant is in promises, not in guarantees. It's in promises. You have to actually pursue it for it to become real for you. And says, we have been given great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. The nature of God. Which means that the elements of the world are subject to you. Now, you don't practice it, it will vanish. You don't practice anything, it will vanish. There are people I know, once walked in the rain and they were not getting wet. There's even one who said she sat on a boda-boda and told the guy, let's go. It was raining and said, you're not going to get wet. And they arrived where they were going and they were both dry. But now you tell her to do it. It's not there. But it once happened, you see. Eh? Now when it happens, you have to do it again and again. Otherwise, it goes. Sometimes you even have to just wait for it to rain and you go and sit outside. Now that is honestly contending for the faith which was delivered to us. Like, you fight for, like, I'm not going to become ordinary. This is not what was handed. What was handed to us was power. What was handed to us was shadows healing the sick. What was handed to us was a church that lacked nothing. These are the things which we inherited. Now, how come we have a church which is poor, a church which is sick, a church which is, you know, powerless, a church which lives by the same conditions that the world presents, the church also goes by it. And even when you come up with something supernatural, they will say it's of the devil, because they have relegated anything supernatural to what? To the devil. Now, people contend there's nothing that it comes cheap in this whatever. Because if you are going to, let's say, walk in divine health, you are going to contend. Eh? You'll get a kasenyiga and you'll confess that I'm healed, yet you're sneezing. I'm healed. And you're contending. And it might look stupid, but it's not. Because when you get rid of it that way, now you've taken a step. You've reached a certain place. Remember what I told you about Abraham? When he waited 25 years to have a child, and he had a child when he was past the childbearing age. Now, the miracle does not stop there. Because after he had a child at 100, he had 6 other children. He had one when he was still of childbearing age, Ishmael. Then he had to wait 25 years to have Isaac, who now God had gotten rid of the flesh and made sure that he understood it's a miracle. But after that, the guy married another wife when Sarah died. He married another babe and started churning out children. And he died at 175 and he's still what? Now, the miracle, if he had like just stopped on the natural, he would have stopped there. He would not have had the strength to go. But now once he gets it by miracle at 100, that miracle has produced something in him which cannot die. So he just now gets another wife and he gets other children. And now he's living in a miracle naturally. Because of course if 100 was a miracle, then past 100 was more than a miracle. But now he's there, naturally. So now you're going to have to be there. Then somebody says, you know, you can take, there's some bukerenda which help with flu, eh? When you're, you know, you're sneezing like a problem. And you're breathing from. Now, somebody will refuse and say, by his stripes I was healed. And speak to the flu and tell it, you flu, I command you in the name of Jesus to go. Then afterwards, if it does not go immediately, and I'll tell you this, it hardly will ever go immediately. In the beginning, immediately comes later. Praise the Lord. When you've mastered the technique, you understand? At the beginning, it will take time. But as it is still surviving there, you thank God because it is gone. Even when you're quasimra, God, I thank you because this flu is gone. Then you what? Then you get another handkerchief. I thank you because this flu is. And now it looks stupid, but it is not. You're contending for the faith which was handed to us by the apostles because they did not have over flu fedi, over cold cap, over tof plasi. They had garlic. You take garlic. Praise the Lord. You see, because you see, the thing is this, eh? When you tell people that, like, it's not worth pursuing because I can take a kakerenda and get healed. But you see, recently I went to see some old man who was suffering from colon cancer and was in a lot of pain. A lot of pain. I've never seen somebody in so much pain. And I was saying, man, it's terrible to have no hope. Because, like, no hope. Even his wife was saying they gave us, went to the doctors, they told us the most he can survive with this, we found it over at stage 3 over stage 4. Now, don't listen to those things. Eh? Don't ever update yourself with knowledge about sickness. You don't need that knowledge. Eh? Now, I remember I met a guy. He was a journalist that time. And he was, now he works in parliament. And there was a journalist lady who had been diagnosed with cancer. And he was telling me, some chick who used to work in NTV. I think some of you might know her. She passed on. And he was telling me, man, if they find it in stage one, what stage one is when he does this, stage three is when I said, hey, let me come. I don't want that knowledge. It's not of benefit to me. It's not going to benefit me whatsoever. Okay? Now, I saw this man, the wife told me, they went to a doctor in India. He told us the most he has had somebody with this, who was diagnosed with this, is 4 years. She said, well, that was 2018, now it is 5 years. Then she said, we are just here waiting for what? So obviously she was telling me the man is going to die very soon. And the man was hearing, although he could not talk, but he was listening. And I said, but man, it's terrible to be in a state of hopelessness. At least hope. You know, when you have hope, you know, the scripture says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So it has to start with hope. You have to hope that, okay, I don't have the faith to be healed, but at least I have hope that I can be healed. Now, that's a good place to start. Now, then you can turn the hope into what? Faith. But in the absence of hope, there is nothing. So I was there. Then, you know, we are waiting for what? So it didn't take long before they told me I had passed on. Now, my point is this. Now you can take garlic for flu. But it might not help if you have if something else worse than that comes. You understand? Don't try to have remedies outside the word of God when you can. Let me tell you, Smith Wigglesworth said, if you wait until you need faith, it is too late. I'll say that again. If you wait until you need faith, it's too late. You build your faith before you need it. You're healthy, you don't have anything. Or even the sicknesses you're suffering from are curable. Flu. Flu, even if, or cough, even if you don't take medicine, it will go anyway. So at least you first exercise your faith there. And don't wait until now you actually need it, because that might be too late. And now by that time you have, you know, you're in a custom of something. So, like, honestly, it is everybody's responsibility to contend. Because the devil is going to, and I know this because people have been having, you know, ailments, sicknesses, and so on. And I had another friend of mine who used to attend here in Lugogo, because it was more convenient for him. Now he doesn't. This is somebody whom I've been with, who got saved in 1988 and went to the same church long ago, so he's a good friend of mine. So I went to see him yesterday. And so he first started telling me, you know, Boda hammered him. Then the wound over grew and became what? Then eventually they told him over there is even cancer. He had already gone through chemotherapy and so on. So he told me a whole litany of things. I was seated there at his home. So he told me now I need to go for an MRI scan so that they see how it is doing. And then after 6 months, I go back and they check me again and so on. So I told him that there are some messages which I think can help you. You just listen to them. Now that's the thing with hope. The minute I told him that, his faith lit up. Because then he told me, but by the way, the truth is, when I got saved in 1988, I could not drink milk, I could not eat meat. Immediately I touch it, I would get, you know what they call virogorogo? Like the skin would swell and he said, but I went, they prayed for me. After praying for me, I went, bam, and I ate meat. They came, I ate meat again, then they didn't come. Now he eats meat like a cannibal. Now, but you see, so he knew. So he knows there has been there is something. So the minute I told him, you go and listen. I told him, go and listen to these messages of Andrew Womack. They're on YouTube. He talks about healing. Go, just go and listen to him and, you know, update yourself with that and so on. Then the guy says, yeah, well, I've been there before. Like, I've done this. What? Now I could see his face lighting up. But before you say chemotherapy, then what? Then I have to go for him. He was asking me for money for an MRI scan. And I gave him some money. I hope he didn't use it for that. Because you see, that adds on to what the Bible calls unbelief. You know what is unbelief? Unbelief is different from what? From lack of faith. Because all of us here have faith. You have faith to raise the dead. The difference, what makes your faith not work, is your mind is full of so many other things, which mess up your thinking. Because this is important for everybody. Now, go and fill your mind with these things. Because I've seen people in those same whatever messages. I saw a guy who was from Holland. Now they are giving testimonies. This guy was from Holland, went to South Africa in the tropics, got yellow fever. So he went back, you know, to the Netherlands and wasn't feeling good. And so he went to the doctor to find out. Now don't fail to go to the doctor to find out. Go and find out. That's important. So that you know what you're dealing with. Now that doesn't mean you follow the doctor's instructions through. But so he went to the doctor, they checked him, then the first one comes, then goes, then they come back, like three of them, and they say, we have bad news. You have yellow fever. And then he says, yellow fever, what's that? He says, it's incurable. Within a after some time, your body is going to become yellow, your eyes, urine and so on, you're going to become yellow, and you'll die. Then the guy laughed. And says, yellow doesn't look good on me. Now, that is somebody who the bad news found when he is full of faith. He told the doctors, die. said, no way I'm dying. And I don't like yellow. Yellow doesn't look good on my body. So he rejected the report. Now, that's a man contending for the faith which was handed. He rejected the report and said, I'm not going to. Then, of course, he started confessing scripture. But he knew he was already like dry grass, which was, you know, just ready for. So they told him, we are keeping you here for 1 week. After 1 week, they tested, no yellow fever. They said, but we'll keep you for another weekend. On Monday, they tested, no yellow fever. So he said, am I now free to go? He said, yes. So he said, he left from there and went straight to the gym. Now, you could see even in the testimony, somebody who is mugged. You can tell people who mug. So he said, a fit guy and so on. So he said, went straight to the gym. Now, when he reached the gym, he started working out. You know, those exercises of fit people. They are exercises of people like us. Then the exercise of fit people. But we are all walking in faith. Anyhow, so he started doing those pull, you know. Then he said his heart started pounding like it was going to burst. Poof, poof, poof. And then he could check. They had that watch which shows heartbeat. He was checking his heartbeat was going over the roof. Then he just says, Jesus does not do partial miracles. If your fever is gone, even this one. Then you go to wait. Then he said, after some time, meanwhile, the heart is pounding. But he continued after some time. He looked at the watch and was saying his heartbeat is now normal. And that's it. Now, that is somebody who was already charged. Who was already in faith. Like, you cannot... What? Yellow fever? I don't like yellow. Now imagine, they tell you, come and tell you. Like that. Now you have to first go and start listening to the word when you're already in a place of panic. It is easier to listen to the word when you're not in a place of panic. Praise the Lord. And not just the word of faith for healing. The word of faith even for prosperity. Amen? When you have a job and you can pay your rent, and you appear to be comfortable, start meditating on prosperity. Don't wait for them to tell you you have no job. Because there you will be in panic. Amen? Now when bad news comes when you're already high, charged with faith, they say that we fired you from a job. You say, there's a better one coming. And you just go home up. And you're confident because you've already, you know, put yourself in a certain. You've already contended for the faith. Don't wait until you need anything to practice. Sometimes practice on other people. Praise the Lord. Like I did with that girl. I told her, and then, you know, somebody goes for her. Now imagine if I needed somebody to go for me. You think I would be in doubt? I have seen it. You see, now I can convince myself I have it, but you haven't seen it. It is just, every word has to be tested. Praise the Lord. Every word has to be what? So if your word has not been tested, fill yourself with it until when the test comes. You are like that man, I don't like yellow. Yellow doesn't look good on me. And they are telling him you're going to die. And he knows he cannot die. Like he's confident, there is no way I'm dying. Now, you see the believers of today, you give them even something half as bad as that. You will see. And now, the faith which was passed on, there was this man called John Gillick, who there was an outbreak of some serious, you know, sickness in New York, and he was with a doctor, and the doctor was treating people, but for him he was praying for them to be healed. So now this was a very contagious disease. So you would lay his hands on them, pray for them, then the doctor tests to see if they are healed, then they are released. So he went with the doctor, prays for them. Then when some of them, of course, like, you know, some of them were dying, then the doctor told him that, aren't we lucky that we are immunized against this sickness? Then John Gillick told him, immunized? I wasn't immunized. Eh? He said, what? You're doing it? The guy said that my body is dangerous to any germ. Then the doctor said, okay, let's try. So they got, now this sickness was like almost like Ebola, eh? And like the fluids from the body were actually the one spread the sickness for the most part. So one man was dying and foam came out of his mouth. So John Gillick told the man, you get that foam and put it on my body and then get scope. Okay? So he put his hand under the scope and the doctor was looking through the telescope. Then they got the foam from that man, which was full of germs, and put it on his body. And the doctor was witnessing all the germs died there. He says, eh? As soon as they touched his body, the germs died. Now that is somebody who is contending. But like, that's the faith who are passed down. Praise the Lord. But now we somehow stopped contending for it and we settled for very normal, ordinary lives. Now this is a challenge for everybody. Like, try to make sure that you do not have an ordinary life, because you were not called for that. Jude here is saying, which was passed on by the apostles, okay? Passed on to us, a powerful faith, not the one which was the church was becoming at the time he wrote this this epistle. So now this guy, that's so it became known across that here is a man who is so dangerous to sickness. Sickness says, die when they touch what? His body. Now what makes them die? It's just his faith. There's nothing special. He's like you and me. It's just that he believes and he has filled himself with a certain word and he knows nothing can happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you can get to a point where you know nothing can happen. You know nothing can happen and you're confident that nothing can happen. Now let me tell you a story which I don't know if but anyway, I'll tell it to you. Now, Prophet Elvis has been in Kenya. Now, he decided to go by road. So, driving from Busia to Kisumu. Now, there were riots. And there were people with pangas. And they were killing everybody who is not a Luo. So, he's driving. His driver is a Luo. So, he's driving. And they are killing anybody who is not a Luo. And they don't like Ugandans because they say Museveni sent his army to go and help Ruto. So even Ugandans don't try it. So there he's going. And obviously it doesn't look like a Luo and doesn't even speak the language. So the guys come and surround the car with machetes and open like, hey. Then the driver starts talking to them, panicking in Luo. They say, ah, they are very angry. Then they said, who is behind? Pull down the windscreen. Then they pulled down the windscreen. The guys looked at him and froze. And ran. Then they ran to another car. Then it happened four times. Four times. Then he said when he reached the hotel in Kisumu, the driver was like, oh, man, I knew they were going to kill you. But now, and guess what he did? He came by road again, even coming back by road again. Now, some people say, ah, oh, man, I survived that. But you see, somebody, people look at somebody with machete, then they go away, and you don't know what they have seen. Now, you can get to a place where you're confident of certain things. Praise the Lord. And you know that this cannot mess me up. And you're contending for the faith. You see, eh? Like you're living it. You're not just talking about it. You're not just giving it in history. Because you first of all go and feed yourself with that word. Amen? You see, the biggest thing now in political circles is poison. Ah, they poison, so. So now for me, I went and read that thing of what? They shall take poison and shall not harm them. Then when I'm reading it, I'm imagining Jesus saying it. You see,
to make a scripture come alive. It's not just in the book. I'm imagining if Jesus is there saying, these signs shall follow those who believe me. They shall take up deadly things and they shall not be hurt. They shall drink poison and shall not hurt them. Now, I only just have to get that word and believe it, and believe it, and believe it. Then I can take the poison. No problem. You see, eh? Now, if I wait for the poison, it's too late. Do you understand? I have to have believed it so that when they say, the food you took is poison, I say, hey, okay, give me some more. Like now, you can get to a point actually where you're now, if these things require time, when you're contending is a war. It is not an easy thing. It is something which you strive to achieve. And the words are there. And the words have life. The words have power of the scripture. And you can feed on them. And you know that the way I am now, if somebody came and told me I had a sickness which does not heal, I would just laugh in their face. And say, what? So I gave this gentleman, my friend, I told him, go and buy data and listen to those messages. Go back to Healing School 101, to P1 of healing. Don't pretend like you know, because you see, preachers also pretend like they know. Like, you can know something, but you know it in the head. It hasn't yet become a part of you. That's why you're going for chemotherapy. You understand, eh? But if you actually knew it from, if it moved from the head to the heart, and they tell you have cancer, you say, what? Cancer? What kind of cancer? Hey, okay. Okay, thank you. Now I know. Then you leave and go and, you know, maybe to the gym, if you are Victor. And start doing push-ups. And like you forget about it, and then like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Am I telling you something today? Because where we are going, by the way, do you know that the things which people are getting used to are the ones which the enemy wants to use to enslave people? Financial systems, medicine, and things like that. And the enemy wants to use it to enslave you because your life is based on what? On pills. Without pills, you can't live. And you've actually gotten there because you've not contended for the faith which was handed over to you. Can you imagine the Apostle Peter sick when his shadow is healing people? He can't. Like, he can't. Like, sickness is even scared of him. He sees him and takes off. Because his shadow is healing the sick people. Now, that is the faith which were handed, which Jude says, honestly contend. Retain that. Otherwise, we become ordinary. And there's an inertia on everything which wants to pull you down, 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 kukakanya. You're not all that. And then eventually, you succumb to it and you start believing you're not all that. But that's not what the scripture says. You are all that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have any slightest fear, let me read one more scripture. You go to Matthew chapter 17. Start from verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, go ahead. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Go ahead. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Okay. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Now, I want you to figure this out. This comes after he had already given them power. I give you power over scorpions and what. And then they went, and they had cast out demons, and they even came to him and said, demons, we are running away at your name. So they knew how to cast out demons. You understand? So it wasn't anything new. They were not... So that's why even they were saying, where have we failed here? What's the problem here? Because we've cast out demons before. Why is this one jamming? Then he says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Now that's a very powerful word. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there and to move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Go ahead. Now you know this one. However, this kind does not go except through prayer and fasting. Talking about the unbelief. You know that. But the thing is this. He says, if you have very little faith, you don't need a lot of faith. You have very little faith. You can do anything. But the difference between, it's like your unbelief is all the knowledge that you have which is contrary to the word of God. You understand? Eh? For instance, if you, like the things which that guy was trying to tell me over stage one cancer, stage two. Now, if I go and listen to those things, they create unbelief. You see? Eh? Now, because knowledge comes in you which is fighting against the word that you have. And that is also true for so many people when it comes to living a prosperous life. We say now it is time for ownership of property. And you like it. You like the idea. But the unbelief is telling you, where are you going to get the money? Now that's unbelief. Because you have been schooled in a worldly system where you need money, you need what, you know, and all these things come and they actually negate your faith. They cover your faith and make it ineffective. Because it's not that you don't believe. But there are so many other considerations. But what? And now once there is fear, once they tell you this and you fear, that's the end. Once they tell you thing and you start calculating. Okay, the house I want is like 1 billion shillings. My salary is like 1.5 million. How am I going to do it? Now you've entered the depth of unbelief. Now, faith is like, you know what Jesus said, that those who receive the kingdom of God like children. Faith is like a child. If I tell my child that I'm going to buy for you a car on your birthday, they don't ask me where you're going to get the money. They just believe. Now, that's what children do. When you tell them I'm going to get it, they don't care where you're going to get the money, how you're going to get it. What? They do not concern themselves with all those details. That is rubbish. For them, they just take your word and say, my father said this, I believe that. That's why Jesus says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you cannot inherit it. Because they don't ask questions. How many of you tell your child something and they ask you where you're going to get the money? They don't. They don't care. They don't ask where you get money for rent, where you get money for what, for fuel, for what. They don't care. It's none of their business. They're in faith. And they don't have unbelief. Amen? Amen. Now for you and your father says through the watchman that we have entered a time of ownership, then you start asking, but where am I going to get the money? I mean, is the hand of God shortened that it cannot save? Is a house too big for God that he cannot give it to if he chooses? You see, eh? Now, you become like the 10 spies. You remember Joshua and Caleb? Now, that's an example of unbelief. Joshua and Caleb say, if the Lord is pleased with us, we are very well able to take on these people because their protection has departed from them. They will be like bread before us. Now, that is faith. Now, unbelief says, giants, and we are like grasshoppers. Now, do you think Joshua and Caleb saw the giants? Yes. They saw the giants. They saw the fortitude of the cities. They saw all the things these other people saw. But now these ones had filled themselves with the fact that God overthrew Egypt. God has made water come out of rocks. God has made meat fall from heaven. God has done this. Then who are these people? Now that's faith. Now that's taking like a child because you're seeing the person who did this, who parted the Red Sea when we are seeing, and water goes this way and the other way. How can he fail to defeat these people? Like this is a piece of cake for him. Now the other ones have forgotten all that. Now they are in unbelief. And now, unbelief is the one thing which cancels all the faith that you have. So you know, yeah, stage one. If you get stage one, you're stage two, then what? Now that's what that guy was telling me. Eh? He gave me all the unbelief. Eh? But now I really did chemotherapy. Then I was looking at him, saying, but man, eh? But the beauty is as soon as I showed him this side, his face lit up. I said, yeah, what am I? I've had healings. I've even prayed for people and they got healed. What? Then you see now somebody, what? Beginning to, something is awakening in him. Now faith. Now all he has to do is to go and remove all the unbelief. How do you remove the unbelief? By surrounding yourself with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. You can have unbelief for anything. Anything. You just receive something which is fake. And you'll see how it will bring you down. Now, you know, sometimes I don't think about the things that, let's say, I do. Okay? Now, the other day, I was trying to talk to somebody, and I was trying to show him something. So I considered some of the things I... So I told him, when I came in this place, I don't even have a car. I would even struggle to get transport to take me back. But now, then I started telling him, I didn't even go far. I just told him how much money I pay in rent in office, this one, offices for politics, another office for politics, another office for politics. Like I told him, if I told you, then also radio, then what, then this fellow. Then I told him, if I told you just my monthly bill, you would be shocked. But now, I never think about it. Because if I started thinking, I would enter unbelief. You see, eh? You start asking, but where does this money come from? And you've spent 5 years, when it is coming? Praise the Lord. Now, unbelief is when you start considering, you bring yourself, like it coanulas you from a very high mountain, where they will come and tell you, your political offices in Rubaga, rent is over. They need 6 months. Here is the money. And I say, yeah, your ministry office is over. Here is the money. Say, here is the money. How many months do they need? Here is the money. Here is the money. Here is the money. Here is the money. Now, some of you think that's a joke. Eh? Like, but those things are there. You know we pay rent here and everywhere. So, because you see, there are people who, like, it is difficult for them to conceptualize this, that you can get in a place of faith where you're not considering so many things. Now, if you start considering, imagine if they come and told you that, okay, now this shouldn't scare you. Let's say you had cancer. Now, then you're full of all these testimonies of people who are healed. What the cancer will look very small to you. You'll even laugh in their face. But now when you're the other guy that was explaining to me all the stages of cancer, and I said, okay, let me reach somewhere here. I will come and talk to you later. Because he was putting me in unbelief. Like, I don't want to know that. Because now somebody comes and says, but okay, where do you get the money? Where do you get money for this? Where do you get money? Honestly, I don't know. Amen? I honestly do not know. But somehow I get it, and I will continue getting it more. And it can only increase, it cannot become smaller. Because I'm growing from faith to what? Yes. Now, if I start thinking seriously, but what if, man, in a matter of a few weeks, it happened to me one day. I'm not telling you something that I do not know. It happened to us one day here. We're somewhere, and our bills were much less than they are now. So the grounds where we're going, they were kubanjaring us. Then this one is kubanjaring us. The people who provide machines were kubanjaring us a lot of money. This one. Then I realized, man, things are tight. So I went and prayed. There are two things I did. First of all, I remember Prophet Elvis one day told me that also him, his brother came and started asking him, because where do you get this money? Then he entered that reality. Then suddenly the money cut off. So he stopped the story there. So I went and asked him, when that happened, what did you do? Then he said, I just went and meditated myself back to where I was, and the money started coming. So I said, that is what I will do also. Praise the Lord. Now, so when that happened, I just, like, when I realized things are falling apart, I just went and meditated on abundance and took time, meditated on abundance and abundance and abundance. Then, when I slept, I had a dream. And in the dream, there was also some attack. Somebody was coming and putting money in, you know, those things, trying to attack us spiritually. And I also cast that out. Our debt at that time had gotten to something over 40 million, which of course is not anything now. But that time it was a big thing. Now a debt of 40 million, like, is going to be written off in a short time, you understand? Eh? I'm trying to say that the ministry was at a smaller place that time. So I went and prayed. Once I meditated myself into that place, do you know how long it took? One day. But here is what Jesus said. You know what Jesus told Peter when he was trying to wash his legs? He told them that he who has bathed does not need to be bathed. You remember Jesus was saying, okay, now wash my head, wash my what? He said, you don't need that. He who has bathed only needs your feet to be what? Washed and you're clean. So when you've been there before, it's easier to go back there. If you're just going there for the first time, it will not take you a day. I'll tell you that.
but it is worth it. Contend for the faith. Because the faith is also finances. Contend for it. Don't settle to live an ordinary life. So anyhow, I cast out the, you know, those people where canceled it, what they were trying to do to my finances. And in 2 weeks, we moved from a debt of 40 million to a surplus of 40 million in 2 weeks. Let me tell you, money is spiritual. Money is what? If you ever start thinking of money the way the worldly people think of it, you are not contending for the faith. You are not. And you will end up being ordinary. You are not supposed to be ordinary. So I went and meditated myself. Like I'd been there. I knew what it meant to just wake up and things are sorting themselves out. So I put myself back there a whole day, all day. And I meditated on it. I left home in the morning. I would go and pray, then take walks and just go and think about what and so on. Then that night I dreamt. The following morning I broke what I'd seen in the dream as an attack. 2 weeks later, there was no debt. It had been written. Actually, we were in surplus. Now, somebody say contend for the faith. That is the faith. But we are only just beginning. Praise the Lord. We're only just what? Now you are going to start putting off things. Anything that was in the Bible. After all, we have better promises. Eh? The other day, I decided I wanted to lift up something with just my mind. So I sat and I looked at it. I haven't, but I'm still contending. Eh? Because we know those things happen in the Bible, didn't they? Eh? So eventually, I'll even lift myself up. I'm contending. But you know, it takes time. That's why people decide to live ordinary lives, because you have to kule merako, eh? You kule merako, and you know, you really, then, but when it happens, like it gives you a sense of joy. Amen? Of course, this is a word for just a few of you. Many of you will not find it worthwhile. Praise the Lord. Some of you will find it. But man, when you kule merako and kule, do you know the joy of seeing something happening, and then you do it again and again, then you know now I can do it. So, I say if I want to drink water, I'll just do like this and the chupa comes here and I drink. Just wait and see. I'll pull it off for you one day. I am still contending. Eh? You know, contending is fighting. Praise the Lord. Contending is fighting. It is not something that comes automatically. But that is the faith that was passed on to us by the apostles. Man, the things which people have done. Eh? There was a guy in Nigeria who was called Babalola. Eh? A man of God. But let me tell you, there are things which people have done. Okay, let me tell you a story I heard of healing. Of a guy who, Smith Wigglesworth, the guy was an amputee. Eh? No legs, both of them. So he went and Smith Wigglesworth said, praying for him to be healed, to get his legs back. Then the guy said that, he told him, you have to do something. By the way, let me tell you, you have to do something. You don't just pray and it happens. No, no, no. There has to be a step of the faith without actions is dead. It's not there. There has to be some action. Now, like there was a person who was in coma. I was listening to that story also in those same series. Guy is in total coma. Then Smith Wigglesworth comes and says, do something. I want to pray for you. Come out of coma, but do something. Then the people say, but the man is in coma. He can't hear you. Then he said, shut up. His spirit is not in coma. Do something. Do something. Then the guy just moved the finger like this. He said, that's enough. Prayed for him. Within a short time, the man was walking and out of that place. You just have to show, do something in a direction. You read the Gospels and say, there is nobody who Jesus healed who did not do anything. These people who did nothing, you would tell them, go and wash in the pool of... Do you know how much faith it takes for somebody to put mud in your eyes and tell you, go and wash? Then you walk through a city like this with mud on your eyes. It takes faith. But you see, there are others who did not do that. Do you know why? Like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus already showed that the faith. Eh? Son of David, have mercy on me, son of David. So now he has said, okay, you've done enough. That's enough to show that you have faith. Eh? So what do you want? That I may see. Have it. We go. Now, do something. Now, so this guy told him, do something. He said, what do I do? He said, do something if you want to be. The man is a double amputee. So the guy went to a shop and bought a pair of shoes. So they presumed he was buying them for somebody.
because they see the guy coming in a wheelchair and asking for shoes. So they said, what size? Then the guy just said any size that came to his mind. I think 8.5 or something. Whatever size came to his mind, he just said. And they are presuming he's buying for somebody else. So he bought the shoes. Then now he went and said, now I've bought shoes. I've done something. Then he prayed. The legs grew back and the feet fitted in the shoes exactly that size. The man had been amputated for so many years, so he didn't know what his leg size would have been. Imagine you amputated at 10 years. And now you don't know what your shoe size is supposed to be. Eh? But he just guessed the size and the shoe fitted perfectly. Now you think those are stories. They are not. They are not. They are absolutely not. The thing is, that is the faith which was handed to us and which we have to contend for. Not to be ordinary, praise the Lord. Not to be what? Because it is very easy to become ordinary. Very easy. You just have to do nothing. And you become ordinary. You don't have to do anything. That is so simple. But you can say no. If these miracles have happened, and the Bible, is, and like this, Jesus is not doing. I noticed one thing about all the miracles. Let's say the healings. And I was meditating on this the other day. All the healings that Jesus did, all the ones which are recorded in the Bible are recorded because they bring out a unique aspect of healing. Otherwise, they could have recorded like a million, you see. Eh? But now, he'll tell you, he healed one like this, then he healed another like this. Because in all of those, there is a lesson. Eh? There is a unique lesson for people who want healing. There is a lesson. Why did he? So the Holy Spirit edited properly to show you what is the lesson from this healing. What's the lesson from this healing? What's the lesson? All those healings have a lesson. The woman with an issue of blood, powerful message. You see? Bartimaeus, powerful message of Kule Miracle. People are telling you, shut up. He says, no. He shouts, son of David. Shut up. No, son of David. Now, all those have, some of them are repeated so many times. So what I'm trying to say is this. All those are for our benefit. That is the faith which was handed to us. Praise the Lord. Now we have to contend to keep it like that. Otherwise, we are going to remain a dead church, which has no power, which has no nothing. You're nobody. You're like an ordinary person. You arrive, and they say they are finished serving food. And then you say, man, okay, I'll spend the day hungry. How? You see, if you don't practice, you can say, no, there has to be food for me. I don't know, I'm giving an example of food. Eh? There must be somebody who is hungry here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you. Now, you know what exhorting is? Eh? It's what I've been doing, encouraging you, lifting you up to contend earnestly for the faith which was delivered to us before it becomes ordinary and we become life. Like you go to a place. I'll give you an example. How many of you have ever gone to Pearl of Africa Hotel? When would you just go there? When Zoe was there, the place had life. But now it is dead. The biggest mistake they did is, like it is dead. You see, you know death. You go to a place. Now you see, people come and they bring life. Then even those who are not interested in Zoe somehow find themselves coming there to drink beer and what, because there is life. Let me tell you, as I told you last time, the city of God, the whole world looks out for it. People can see that there is life in it, whether they know it or not. Eh? Now you go to, I'll tell you, we go to a place like that. It was dead. Am I lying? But now there is this, they're having meetings, they're having that. We told them just keep Friday away. And we shall bless you on other days. There is no way we can go in a place and doesn't have life. Eh? Because we are the carriers of life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Remember life. Eh? And now, remember that story I told you about Resort Towers? Eh? Life. Like, and by the way, I never noticed. Like, I'm Ndiwakabi. Eh? No, the honest truth is, eh? You know that scripture? Remember, how many of you were here when prophet visited in Lugogo? You remember the scripture I used?
the communication of your faith might be effectual through the acknowledging of those things which you have in Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't acknowledge it, you'll never be. Now, when I saw that people who are not even born again come and say, since you touched base here, now we got clients, the whole place is full. I say, you are coming. The communication of my faith becomes effectual by acknowledging. Show us that scripture. Philemon, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Some people have a problem acknowledging. They think they are being humble, yet they are being stupid. Acknowledge that what you are. You say that, you've touched me, you are going to see. You are going to see. Now, of course, with love, some of you don't have. because you have to acknowledge. And now that's how your faith becomes effective. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So how many people are ready to contend for the faith? At somewhere, don't do a million things. Like, funza one thing. So first, funza one thing and say, now, divine health, I will never get sick again. Then kufunza that. When you're through with it, then manifestation of blessing. Amen? Not like these people who are in what? Real estate. Selling houses. Do you know the witchcraft people use to sell houses? Do you know how you can actually just become rich by using the power that you have? Praise the Lord. Now, if I decided, if like the Lord called me in that area, like my brother there, I say I'm selling this house, I go and call buyers from left to right. I don't go looking for them. I call them in the spirit. They come looking for me. Praise the Lord. You can master that technique because God is Kayungirizi. He's a Kayungirizi for couples. He's a Kayungirizi for, you know? Amen? Isn't he? He brings people together. He connects people. He does what? Like, he's good at that. So you say, somebody comes and says, we are selling this house. How much are you selling it? Let's say, $1 million. How much is the commission? 50,000. Or let's say 80,000. Say, hey, okay. Carry. So I go in a closet and call the buyers. Man, the Lord can broadcast something. And the people who are serious buyers come to you. And you can master that art. And you don't have, and you become rich. And then you are contending for the faith. So that you don't have to go and also put on websites, which then you get buffet, then you get what? You call serious people in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen. That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amare, The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mokwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.